then who are they addressed to? The Lord Jesus is here talking to his disciples, and he says, he warns them, be careful how you think. And this same teaching is repeated in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8 and 9. It's also repeated again in Mark chapter 9, verses 43 to 48, to emphasize the importance of his words here. The important sayings of the Lord Jesus are repeated again to emphasize the importance. That it, you know, we are slow to learn. Often we hear a thing once, we don't remember it. The Lord repeats it that we may remember it, that it may enter into our dull spiritual understanding. Now, if these words are not addressed to the disciples, then who are they addressed to? For to speak to a non-Christian about that he will cut his hand or gouge his eye out, is not a possibility that he would even consider. You would be throwing your pearls before swine. No. Think carefully about this. The Lord is warning his disciples. Don't think that because I have redeemed you with my blood, don't think that because I have come to put down my life as a ransom for you, that therefore you can think of going on in sin. Don't dream of it. Paul says, God forbid, don't let the thought even cross your mind. Don't deceive yourself. God is not deceived. And he goes on to say, as we saw the other time, that no fornicators, no sinners, no adulterers, and he has cited a whole list, and he says, none of these will enter the kingdom of God, no matter what they call themselves. Consider carefully the word of God. Make sure that you live a holy life. Salvation is not an excuse to sin.
我们不要以为得救，因为我们已经自由去犯罪。所以主耶稣这里所讲的话是针对谁呢？如果是针对一些非基督徒或是这一些非信徒的话，那这种话实在没有意思，因为你叫他砍掉他的手、挖出他的眼睛来，他绝对不会做。他这里所讲的话、所说出来的教要求、所讲的教训是对他自己的门徒而讲的。 所以千万不要以为我现在得救了，所以呢，我不用再怕地狱的危险了。这种基督徒就是犯罪的基督徒，你必须要小心在这里。Don't let any human notions, traditions, or doctrines blind your eyes to the dangers that are ahead, even for Christians. Look at the teaching of Jesus. Don't look at the teaching of men and see what he says to you, not what I say to you. But our time is going quickly, and I have to pause just on one other thing, or two other things. First of this, it says this, that your body, notice carefully the words of the Lord Jesus, there is so much in it, pluck off your eye or chop off your hand so that your whole body may not be thrown into hell. Ha, you say. But what about those guys who got cremated? What about those guys in Northern Ireland who got blown up by the bombs? There's no body to throw into hell. They have long since been blown into dust. Ah, that's no problem then. The best way, you know, and there are some people who think like this, the best way to escape judgment is to get cremated after you die. Because there's no body to throw into hell. Well, don't be deceived and don't be naive. Because, of course, here you can see that if you look carefully at the Lord's teaching, the teaching of the resurrection is immediately implied. And, of course, he goes on specifically to speak about the resurrection later. You see how in a simple passage like this, so many doctrines are involved. The doctrine of redemption, the doctrine of the resurrection, the doctrine of sanctification, the doctrine of salvation, everything is in these simple words. They look simple, isn't it? Now you can see what is the depth and the riches of the teaching of Jesus. For the unseeing eye, there's nothing to see. For the seeing eye, there is so much to see that you hardly know where to begin. Such is the riches. So there is already presupposed the doctrine of the resurrection before the doctrine of the judgment, as well as the doctrine of the last things, the doctrine of hell. That is exactly what Paul says, in fact, in Acts chapter 24 and verse 15, which last Sunday we read together and maybe many didn't notice. What does Acts 24 verse 15 say? Paul says there that we shall be raised, both the just and the unjust, in the resurrection. The resurrection to the judgment. Don't think there is any way of escaping the judgment of God.
Otherwise, you see, why is God in his wisdom given us the doctrine of the resurrection? Because many evil people will say to themselves, so long as I die and I get my body blown up and burnt and scatter my ashes in the sea, then I can escape the judgment of God. No such luck, no such hope. That is why the doctrine of the resurrection is there. The Lord has warned us, you will in no way escape his judgment. You will never outwit God. He will bring together your dust and your ashes and see to it that you stand there in his judgment. Now I must conclude on this point of the doctrine of hell. The Lord Jesus has spoken here several times about hell, and it's time for us briefly to look at it. And so important is this doctrine that I shall come back to it again.
所以我们感谢上帝他的智慧。
But when we come to the doctrine of hell, I want to say immediately in these closing moments that nobody should preach about hell who cannot feel the pain and the horror of hell in his heart. Anyone who preaches hell as though it was something to relish over, that you can roast the sinners in there, hang them over the sulfuric flames, and see them there sizzling like sausages in the barbecue. We have barbecue tonight. Maybe we'll be thinking about it. Now, anyone who relishes in the doctrine of hell, I think that that person had better keep his mouth shut and leave the church in peace. Nobody is entitled to preach about hell who cannot preach with a sense of the pain, the horror, the fearfulness of hell, and the reality of hell. You know, there was a girl in Shanghai who was not a Christian. She was one of the colleges in Shanghai. And she died. And she died for several hours as they left her body there. Some hours later, I forgot whether it's 8 or 9 hours later, she came back to life. And when she came back to life, she was wet with perspiration and trembling with fear. And people asked her, what happened to you? They said, do you know that you died? She says, I know I've died. She says, I want to tell you something. I've had the most horrible and frightening experience in my life. They said, what happened to you? She said, I have been granted a vision of hell. I was taken down to have a look at hell. She was not a Christian, remember that. And she said, when I saw hell, when I saw this fearful and terrifying place, God allowed me to return. Allowed me to return to tell you all what hell is like. That you may, if you are not afraid of God, you may be afraid of hell. You know, there are some sinners who are not afraid of anything. You tell them of the love of God, love has no impression on them. The only language they seem to understand is the language of fear. And God in his wisdom gives us both languages, the language of love and the language of fear. This girl, and this is absolutely true, what I'm telling you about, was not a Christian. She became a Christian after this experience. And the whole college, as a result of this, there was a revival in that whole college in Shanghai. And hundreds of them came to the Lord upon her testimony, because they knew that she spoke the truth and they knew she was no Christian. The reality of hell is something fearful, if only one can grasp it. And don't see to yourself, well, I don't believe in this. You know, and I've emphasized this before, believing a thing or not believing a thing changes no facts whatsoever. Always remember clearly in your mind that belief changes nothing in your life as far as the facts are concerned. You don't believe it, it doesn't make any difference. If you don't believe there is a place in the world called Australia, what difference does it make? Does Australia disappear because you don't believe it? If you tell the ancient people that there would be planes flying in the air and they say, I don't believe it, what difference does it make? Facts don't change because you believe it or don't believe it. It only changes you. Faith changes you. It doesn't change the facts. Always remember this clearly. So don't comfort yourself and say, well, if I don't believe it, it wouldn't be any hell. I tell you, you'll have just a nasty surprise when it comes to it. If this house were on fire and somebody said the house is on fire, it's really on fire, so I don't believe it. Do you think if fire will go out? It would be so convenient. I wish it could be put out just by saying, I don't believe it, and the fire goes out. Oh, that would be marvelous. Quick solution to every problem. Unfortunately, believing a thing or not believing a thing changes absolutely nothing as far as the facts are concerned. It only changes you. So be careful how it is. So if the doctor tells you one day you have cancer, and you say, I don't believe it. I don't feel anything. I got no pain in my body. I feel perfectly normal. You think your cancer disappears? That's exactly what a doctor said to my father. Got cancer in your neck. You didn't feel anything. No pain, nothing. 2 months later, he was dead. I mean, he still didn't feel any pain, but he was dead. So don't think that believing a thing or not believing a thing makes any difference. And I say this particularly because people like to shut out hell from their thinking. I don't want to think about hell. I don't want to think about death. And so it doesn't exist. Unfortunately, it's there. It's not going to go away because you don't believe it. Always remember that.
一个人信与不信一个东西不会改变事实，只有改变你自己。所以有一些人面对这个地狱的教训，现在我们花几分钟来考虑主耶稣对地狱的教训是什么，就是我这个地狱这个东西我不要想，我也不要信，那么不信就不要紧了，不信根本不改变任何事实，要永远记得这一点，信与不信只有改变你自己。 不会改变事实，所以一个人如果说这个房子已经失火了，楼下已经火了，所以说我不信，不信不要紧了，这个火烧就把你烧死就算了。所以你信不信不会改变这个事实，只有改变你自己的态度。我相信，哦，有火我就出去，你不信你就坐在那儿，等到那火烧了你走不出去就烧死了。所以这个信不信不会改变这个事实，只有改变你自己。
譬如说一个医生跟你讲，你身体里面有毒瘤，啊，你说我不信，我也感觉蛮舒服，我身体蛮好的，我这个吃的胃口也不错，这哪里有病，哪里有毒瘤，你不信会不会那个瘤就没有了？哼，根本不，这个不相干，这个瘤还在那儿，就好比我跟我父亲那个时候，我父亲也是因为这个东西死的，医生跟他说你这个背随上，这个背脊骨上。 有毒瘤了，我父亲也没有感觉到痛，也没有任何感觉，但是怎么样呢？2个月之后他就死了，痛也不痛，感觉也没有什么感觉，但是2个月之后，这个整个身体就被这个东西害死了。 Always remember then that faith affects you, it doesn't affect the facts. It affects your attitude towards the facts. Now, when we come to this matter of hell, I want to share just a few points as our time is going out very quickly. First, why is hell necessary? You know, I think about it and I ponder the matter and I say, thanks be to God that there is a hell. You say, what did you say? I say, I thank God that there is a hell. And I say this in all humility, with fear and trembling. You say, well, how can you say a thing like that? Well, I'll tell you why. If there is no hell, there will be no justice in this world. I think, for example, of the things that happened in this century. I think of the horrors, to bring our minds to recent times, the horrors of the Second World War. I think of those people who put 6 million Jews and other people, Poles, Dutch and the like, in the gas chambers. Women and children as well as men who didn't even know what the war was all about and gassed them mercilessly to death. I think of the kind of evil that can do this kind of thing. I think of the evil who can take delight in torturing people slowly to death. I would think that there must be some way to settle the accounts. I think of people like Hitler, who, having caused the death not only of the 6 million people in the gas chambers, but I think of the 20 million people in Europe alone who died, bombed to death, shot to death, burned to death, all because of this man, this megalomaniac. And he, when the disaster came, having brought the world down in flames and ruins around him, just put a bullet through his own head and burned himself up to escape the judgment of men. I would say to myself, should this man, who had caused the death of 20 million people, of people who were fathers and sons, of mothers and sisters, of daughters and grandmothers and all kinds of people, who caused the misery and the pain and the suffering of countless millions, could just get away with one shot in the head? I say, that's not justice. Do you say it's justice? I would say that he must be made to be held to account for the death of those multitudes. That if these people must suffer, then his suffering must be at least 20 million times what they suffer. Otherwise, frankly, I don't see there is justice. Not that I suffered. I suffered nothing very much at the hands of this man. But I think of those others who suffered. For their sake, I feel there must be justice. Do you think that it's justice that this man, having caused the misery and wretchedness of countless millions, should escape with one shot, with no pain, no suffering, nothing? Would you say that's justice? Well, you're entitled to your opinion. But I thank God that there is a place of justice in this world, that God will settle the accounts. Every man will have his share. And I then will praise God, because justice, as I understand it, and inadequate as my understanding is, will have been fulfilled. So we can see that God intends to wipe out evil and sin in this world. Remember that. When people say to you, what's God doing? You can say, God is doing an awful lot. And he's going to see that every scrap of evil and rottenness. If I have a feeling of injustice and fury over sin, what must be God's feeling about sin, I wonder? If a sinful man like me can be indignant about sin, then what must be the holy God's conception about sin? 所以讲到地狱的时候，我要讲到第一点。第一点就是什么呢？ 就是说我感谢主有地狱这一件东西。你说话，你怎么有这样说法？我说我很谦卑的，在主的面前谦卑说，我感谢主有地狱。你说你怎么讲这个话？为什么呢？因为在这个世界上有很多恶，有很多坏，有很多这种东西必须要被处理，必须要被审判。就算我这个罪人会因为罪而愤怒。 那何况一个圣洁的上帝对罪的态度是什么？你想想看。如果你对罪会愤怒的时候，那么上帝对罪的态度是怎么样？请大家想想看。所以呢，我说地狱要有地狱。为什么地狱在那里要毁掉一些坏的一些恶的东西？难道这些坏的东西，这些恶的东西要永久长存吗？ 难道这种东西要让他们存在吗？绝对不行。那么怎么样毁掉他们？地狱就是要毁掉这些东西。所以我们要感谢主。所以我刚才讲到希特勒这个人，譬如说这样的人，我们不要讲到别的时候，就讲到我们这个20世纪的时候，这个希特勒这个人，你想想看，这个人， 那六百万的犹太人跟其他的这些欧洲人放在火房里面，火炉里面给烧掉，或者用这个煤气把他们毒死。这些个连孩子在里面，有母亲的，有怀胎的，有男的，有女的，有老的，有少的，一类都被他扔害死。他们犯了什么罪？他们连这个战争的理由是什么，他们都搞不清楚。 无辜的人被这个坏人给害死，但是不但就讲到这600万的这些个人放在这个用毒气来毒死的，再想到呢，单单欧洲来讲，有2000万人死的在这个战争里面，有的被烧掉，有的被炸弹炸死，有的怎么样的饿死的和什么样的冻死的，什么样的都有。 其中有父亲的，有母亲的，有孩子的，有男的女，这些个人的痛苦是根本不能计算。但是这个坏人做了这种事情以后，自己一个子弹就把自己打死，什么痛苦也没有经验到，这样就逃避了人的审判。如果你说他这样就算了，就完蛋了，这2000万人的痛苦就这样一下子就算了，这个账也不用交了。 我自己个人来讲，心里面已经不服了。就算我这个罪人已经不服了，何况圣洁的上帝？所以我感谢主，有一个地狱把这个账来算清。我想他起码要比别人要受的痛苦，起码有2000万倍，把这个账才可以算清楚，是不是？所以我就带着谦卑的心来说，我感谢主。 主是个圣洁的主，带着公义来审判世界上的恶。So evil must be eradicated, and hell is there to eradicate evil. What is God going to do with the sins? What is God going to do with evil? What is God going to do with the devil? We spoke about Hitler, or what of the devil? Are these people going to be just left hanging around forever? Is this universe going to tolerate this kind of evil? Not at all. That is why God has prepared a place for the eradication of evil, to burn out, to purge out the evil. But here we must distinguish a number of things. Some people have the notion that everybody is going to roast in hell for the same length of time. Hell is some kind of a grand barbecue. Not at all. Hell is simply there for the eradication, extermination of evil. Remember that. Now here, I must want to correct some wrong notions about hell. First, remember this. No one will be readily sent to hell by God. God is a compassionate and merciful God. He has no delight whatsoever in the death of the sinner. The Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of the sinner. Let's get away from the sadist idea in which God sort of enjoys seeing the sinner roasting. Hell has only one practical function. The eradication of evil. It is not meant for any pleasure of torturing people. Secondly, let us remember this, that what we read in the Bible about hell is that hell is a place of extermination, that is, of evil. Now, when we read this, it is not a place that is just there to roast people and on. Now, when you read the teaching of the Bible and look at it carefully, you will find every time that the teaching of the Bible is this, that place, hell is a place to wipe out evil and wipe out those who refuse to repent from evil. Think carefully of that. It is not a place where people sit there forever and ever. Now, you see, the Bible does say that the fire of hell is forever. It does not say that the destruction of the sinner is forever. These two must be carefully distinguished, and it is very important for us to distinguish it. The fact that the fire of hell is eternal does not mean that the punishment of the sinner is eternal. I would like you to distinguish this clearly in your mind. I repeat again. The fact that hell fire is eternal does not mean that the punishment of the sinner is eternal. Now, I have investigated very, very carefully the teaching of the Bible concerning hell because I am a preacher of the Word of God. And I want to give you the exact facts. You see, Take, for example, in Jude verse 7. Jude verse 7 says something very remarkable. It says that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by eternal fire. Think carefully what it means. Eternal fire. Sodom and Gomorrah, is it still burning today? No, it's gone. Then how can the fire be eternal? In expounding the Bible, we must be very accurate in our understanding of it. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by eternal fire. What does that mean? Eternal fire signifies God's fire. The fire of God is always eternal. That is why it speaks of eternal fire. It does not mean that Sodom and Gomorrah are still burning today. Of course, Sodom and Gomorrah are gone. They are finished. But the fire is still eternal. Do you see? So therefore, let us not make the mistake that when we read the Bible, it says eternal fire means the sinner is roasting in the fire forever and ever. Sodom and Gomorrah are finished. They are gone. They are burnt out. They cease to exist. They were annihilated by the fire. God has no pleasure in putting sinners there to roast for eternity. But he has the sad duty of wiping out the sinners who refuse to repent. He takes no pleasure in it. But he has been left with no alternative. Think of the pain of it. He has no alternative, brothers and sisters, but to destroy the sinner who refused to repent. What alternative has he got? You don't want to repent. He has done everything for your salvation. What more can he do? You tell me what more God can do to save you. That his very son hung on the cross to die, to pour out his blood to its last drop. What more can he do to save you? On that day of judgment, what can you say against God, I ask you, when you are consigned to eternal destruction? What can you say against him? He has done everything, and I'm telling you he has done everything for your salvation. You don't want it. You say, I don't believe it. So what? It doesn't change any facts. He has done it for you all the same. And when you're faced with the eternal reality of hell, I think God will have to say, I'm sorry. I've done everything for you, my friend. I myself sent my dear son. What is most precious to me, more than my arm, more than the chopping off of my hand, more than the gouging out of my eye, I sent my son to die. I would rather have gouged out my eye. That's less painful than sending my son to die. Any of you who are fathers or mothers will know that. And you would not come to me. You don't want to come to me. What alternative do you leave me, my friend, but your extermination? That is why the Lord Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 10, don't be afraid of those who destroy the body, but be afraid of him who can destroy, notice the word destroy, both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10:28. Fearful, it makes you shudder. He says, don't be afraid of anything in this world. There is nothing this world can do to you, but be afraid of him. Destroy body and soul in hell. Does he take pleasure in it? I say again, not one bit of pleasure. It will cause him exceeding pain to have to do it. You are also his creature. But what choice do you leave to him, my friend? Now, there is certainly a period of suffering that the Bible teaches. The suffering comes during the waiting for the execution, as you might say. In the outer darkness, the Lord speaks of outer darkness and also fire, two things. The one comes first, the other afterwards. When you are sitting in the outer darkness, in the nether gloom, as Jude speaks about it, you'll have a lot of time to think about spiritual reality, which you didn't think about in this life. You'll have all the time to think about it. Sometimes people come to church and they say, why is this message so long? You know, I tell you, you'll be so glad. Because on that day, while you are waiting for the judgments of God, you'll say, boy, this time is long. How long do I have to sit here and wait for the judgment? Let's get it over with. You have all time to think, to remorse. When I was on earth, what did I do with my life? Foolish man that I am. When I listened to the gospel, and it went in from one ear and went out of the other, now I wish it went down into my heart and stayed there. wretched man that I am. That is the period of suffering, the fire that will burn inside your heart before the fire that exterminates. The suffering is unbelievable. The suffering of remorse is almost unparalleled in human suffering. Like the mother who looked after a child, looked after her baby. She turned around to pick up something. The baby fell off the wall, right down on the other side. Can you understand the feeling of remorse that a mother like that suffers? Can you put yourself in her position? That she turned around one moment and the baby fell off the wall, right down to his death. Only 1 second. The remorse, the bitterness. What would she do? That is remorse, my friend. There's no suffering like it if you've never felt it. You might have felt a tinge of it if anybody has ever sort of at some time experienced, say, failing an exam or something like that. If you have a slight touch of it, there's nothing to compare. You say, oh, if only I'd worked a little harder, if I had to, but now, what is the purpose? That's remorse. The bitterness of it is incredible. It eats inside like a worm chewing up the soul. A mother who did this would be ready to commit suicide. The pain is unbearable that this child fell over the wall just in that second that she turned around. How is she going to live this the rest of her life with that thought? So hell is there, I would like every person to be clear about it, it's a place of destruction. I say this clearly on the authority of God's word. Matthew chapter 3 verse 12 says this. What does John the Baptist say? He will gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. Now the word there that is used by John the Baptist, burn up, will consume with unquenchable fire, means to be burnt out completely. There's nothing left. And the Chinese Bible translates it correctly, Matthew 3:12, as shao jing, nothing left of it. It is exactly the word that is used in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, where God appears to Moses in the bush. And you remember what happened? The bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. That is the word. It was not burnt up, not destroyed, not eaten away by the flames. Fire is something dreadful, powerful thing. Just consumes it, destroys it instantly. But here it says, chaff will be consumed, burnt up, nothing left. The word is always means in the Greek a total destruction. And the same thing in Luke chapter 3 verse 17, where John the Baptist says exactly the same thing. 那在这里呢，花了一点时间就研究到主的教训关于地狱。地狱里面的教训是什么？我们刚才看到第一点，就是地狱的需要。现在我们看到地狱的可怕。在地狱是怎么样？ 我们必须要清楚知道上帝对罪人的死没有一点喜悦。所以圣经里面说上帝对罪人的死不带有任何的喜悦，他心里面带着痛苦。何必要死？他对以色列说，为什么我整天向你们伸出我的手来，而你们不要听呢？你们为什么要选择死亡呢？ 你们为什么故意要去死呢？所以我跟大家说，在审判的那一天，没有一个人在神的面前可以说，你为什么让我死？主耶稣到世界上来，为的是拯救我们。我们听惯了，耳朵已经生疮了，已经生魔了，也听不见了。你知道什么？上帝在那一天会跟你讲， 我能够为你还做一些什么事情来拯救你？我已经可以做的已经做完了，你能够给我讲我还没有做的还是什么呢？我不单是我的眼睛来弯出来，我的手来砍掉，我连我自己的爱子赐给你们，我自己的爱子献上来拯救你们。我情愿把自己的眼睛弯出来，你们做父亲做母亲的知道， 情愿把手砍掉，不要把爱子去牺牲掉。但是上帝把自己的爱子赐给我们，作为我们的救赎。你在那一天在上帝的面前，你有什么话可以讲？你敢控告上帝吗？说你为什么不来拯救我？他怎么没有拯救你？他能够做什么来拯救你？ 你没有被拯救，那一天才必能够说对不起，我能够做的已经做尽，今天要受到地狱的下场的灭亡，不是我要为你选择的，对不起，是你自己所选择的，你自己今天选择生命或者选择灭亡，是你自己要走的一条路。那么地狱呢，我们要看清楚，地狱是圣经里面不是说。 单单一个罪人在那儿永久在那儿烤火啊，像我们中国人在那儿烤大饼一样，烤大饼在上海呢，我一个大炉子，旁边就有大饼烟在那儿能在那儿下面烤，好像上帝好像得到什么喜悦在那儿烤那个罪人，觉得很高兴，没有这个意思。地狱的火我们刚才看见是为了毁灭罪恶。 但是如果你不肯悔改的话，那么你只有毁灭，悔改或者毁灭，随便你自己要选择其中一个。毁灭就是怎么样呢？在地狱里面，圣经里面跟我们讲的，不是说永永远远在那儿烧，但是要把在那儿毁掉。当然有个痛苦的时期，在这个审判之前，在这个。 地狱的火之前，一个人就会要经过一个很痛苦的时期。主耶稣就把这个叫做外边的黑暗，这个外边的黑暗是非常痛苦的一个时期。之后呢，就要被毁掉。但是毁掉的时期，每一个人就不同，这个一点我们必须要讲清楚。有一些人呢，要在这个地狱的火里面是很久的，譬如说这个。 这个魔鬼啊，他是永永远远在火里面烧的，这个因为他要付这个还债啊，这个账要算清，也要放得很久，因为他的罪是那么大，所以他呢在地狱里面是永永远远，跟着他呢还有假先知，还有那个兽，这个都要永永远远在火里面烧，所以我经过这个仔细的研究。 看到圣经里面的教训，有关于地狱的是这样：看你的罪的情形来说，你在这个地狱的火里面需要多少时间来毁灭？像魔鬼的情形，它是永永远远在这个火湖里面。但是，一般罪人呢，就像路加福音3章第17节或者马太福音第3章12节里面，就对于这个火呢毁掉了。 消灭了。马太福音第10章第28节也是这样讲，大家要仔细的来思考来研究。所以马太福音第3章12节呢，就说到这些个罪人呢就被烧尽，就是烧完了。I think that all of you now trust will understand clearly the importance of God's words. I have taken time over this. It is a teaching of exceeding great importance. And we must understand then that hell is there, the reality of hell is fearful, and the destruction of hell is as real as anything ever was real. Never deceive yourself into thinking that you will escape it, because the God of all holiness and justice will see that in his universe not one stain of evil and sin will remain. It will all be consigned to the destruction of hell. Now we have seen also that the sinner will be destroyed in hell, body and soul. But we also saw that there are some people, such as Hitler and the like, I should think, will be in hell for a very long time. They will not be allowed to so quickly escape. They will be made to suffer the torment that they inflicted upon others. I should think that such people will be in hellfire for a very, very long time. Not because God takes any pleasure in it, remember that, but because it is necessary to carry out justice. And so we find in Revelation 20 and verse 10 that the devil, the beast, and the false prophet will be in the fire of hell forever. So great is their evil that it will take all eternity to settle the accounts with them. But of the others we read that they will be destroyed in hell. So let us understand clearly the teaching But this is not all there is to the teaching of the Lord Jesus on hell. We will come back to it in the future. But let us now consider then all this, accurately to understand the teaching of the Lord Jesus.
还有一点在中文我应该讲的就是在圣经里面常常有人看到这个火是永远的火，但是永远的火并不是代表罪人，就是永远在那火里面烧，这两点要一定要看清楚。我们看到魔鬼他是永远在火里面烧，并不是代表所有的罪人跟魔鬼一样的烧的那么久，所以我们看到在这个犹大书第七节里面。 讲到这个索东跟这个哥摩拉，这两个地方是用永远的火来烧了，这并不代表这两个地方今天还在那儿烧，这两个地方老早已经没有了。那么那火怎么是永远的呢？就是因为是上帝的火，上帝的火就是永远的火。我们这种真理必须清清楚楚的来了解。So
today we have dealt with a very important aspect of the Lord's teaching. And of course, we have realized that everything the Lord teaches is important. But in the time we have together, I try to share with you as much as possible of the riches, the profound importance of God's teaching. Take it deeply to heart, because otherwise you will have all eternity to regret that you did not take it to heart. We deal with the things that we know to be true. So be careful how you hear the word of God. Realize that in this world there is nothing more important, therefore, than that we may be saved, that we may get right with God, and enter into the life that He wants to give us, that He longs to impart to us. That's why He says, ask, you will receive. He is longing, He is waiting to give it to us, waiting for us to ask. 所以我们看到主耶稣的教训的重要性。 讲到永远的真理，我们知道这是永远的真理，上帝的话是不会废掉的，所以听到这个话必须要听到心里面去，不然的话你有永久的时候来思考、来懊悔，你当初没有把上帝的话放在心上。今天我们想到这个，就让我们知道，要得到上帝的生命。 是这个世界上最重要的东西，比这个更重要的是没有了。我们今生是暂时的，来生是永久的。你要选择哪一个，就选择的清清楚楚，不要把重要的不重要的分不清楚，这个就太糊涂了。必须要知道，得到耶稣是比任何别的东西更宝贵。现在我们安静在主的面前祷告。